Good afternoon, and welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very, very special guest whose musical talent surpasses words. His name is Michael Moon. He is a sound healer, multi-instrumentalist, vocalist, and award-winning recording artist. Michael is thrilled to announce his international release of his successful meditative and healing ambient music CDs, Deep Peace, which includes a DVD and Deep Song. And he's going to be telling us about his journey, how he came to this place. Welcome, Michael. How are you today?
I'm great.
Great. Well, thank you for being on the show. You have a very interesting backstory, if we can, for just a moment.
Sure.
The music really does speak from your own experience. And if you don't mind, you were diagnosed with autism at 3, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And tell us how that kind of how did you grow up with the autism, and what is autism? Because, you know, we hear about this in the media so much. I have an autistic stepdaughter, so, you know, it's been interesting to relate to her, and she's 13, too, so it's been interesting. So tell us, what is autism, and we'll go from there, okay?
Well, autism, as you've probably heard, is a spectrum, so it's not one specific thing. What it does, it's as varied as the people that have it. I don't believe it's a disease as much as a different wiring in the brain that perceives things differently and can be quite difficult to interface with the way most people communicate and are in the world and the way we've tended to collectively decide that we should be. At the same time, there are things that can worsen that. You know, people, you often hear, oh, autism's caused by vaccinations, or autism's caused by diet, or autism. I don't believe it's caused by any of that stuff, but those are stressors for all of us, and people that are sensitive, that can push them over the edge into not being able to function. But it's, to me, one of the key things in my experience and from bouncing this off other people of autism is there seems to be a difficulty experiencing more than one sense at a time, which tends to mean whatever sense is focused on, whether it be sight or hearing, is extra strong. But then it can be very hard to then experience the other senses at the same time. So there tends to be like a kind of digital, like flipping from, and seeing that leaf of that tree and the way the light is hitting it, to zoning out of that, and then I hear this sound over here, and then you can no longer even see the tree at all, and you're totally focused on that sound, and that's the only thing that takes over. Which, without, when you're young or without the ability to understand or deal with that, it can be very difficult to kind of take in everything. And when it comes to emotional interaction, it can be very difficult because it's so much, it's a sensory overload. So there can be a real inward experience. From that inward experience, there's a lot of richness. And even people that have autism but don't speak, if you give them a way to communicate, whether it's through typing from a typewriter or poetry or song in my case, there's this huge, rich world. For instance, a friend of mine whose son, who's about 5, was given, who had severe autism, could not communicate or speak at all. And it started communicating through the typing method. And the observations he had of his fellow students and the adults around him, and it was way beyond his years. Incredible, deep observations about what's going on in the people around him. And you would have never guessed that. The experience looking from the outside as somebody that's completely shut off and doesn't get anything. There's a difficulty with the interface between the inner world that's so rich and the experience of the outer world that's so overwhelming that it can be very difficult to create that bridge. And I know personally that's been my life path in a way, is learning how to create that bridge for myself, but also help people that are not in that world to experience the richness of that inner world that for me translates into a profound spiritual experience over time as I integrated it. It's sort of an answer, and not really an answer, because it's going to be different for everyone. But it's ultimately that the commonality seems to be a very, what seems to be a numb, out-of-touch exterior is masking a profound sensitivity that's very difficult to integrate.
Interesting. Yes, that is. And how did you come to find music within yourself to express yourself so beautifully?
Well, it kind of found me. One of the ways I found to communicate and to cope was through, when I was younger, I'd always make kind of moaning sounds and as a way to kind of deal with the internal discomfort. You know, when you feel so much but you don't have the way a way to express it, it becomes painful. Which is why a lot of people with autism do what they call stimming. They start hitting themselves or pulling their hair out, or it's so much intense internal pressure, all that feeling without an ability to express it. And so for me, my way of dealing with that was just vocalizing, making sound. And I'd also in my mind kind of I'd hear all this music inside. It never occurred to me that I could actually make it. I mean, it was the last thing I possibly thought I could do. I couldn't even communicate, let alone making music. But somehow, I had a very strong inner experience, actually at 20, where a very strong inner voice told me to start trying to make that music. Not trying, just told me to start making that music. And I somehow, it was so strong, I just listened and very quickly learned to play music out of nothing. It was very hard for me to learn how to sing, but music was almost instant. I went from not playing at all to playing in bands very quickly, but I was always in the background. But through the instrumentation, I was able to start expressing. And then, through a series of circumstances, I found myself writing songs and wanting to sing them. And I'm still learning the full extent of how to do that. And that's been a huge journey of both musical learning, but mostly one of cracking through that autistic shell through using my voice by singing these songs that kind of emerge through me, and then they need to be expressed, and I have to learn how to do it. And in that process, I found how to express emotion, how to feel emotion, how to allow that incredible tidal wave of feeling to start moving out. And it was pretty profound experience when that started to happen. So the actual experience of song and music and singing was the doorway that opened up from this shell of autism to being what most people without knowing me closely, would go, "You're autistic, you can't be autistic." Though the people that know me closely would say different. It's still there, but it's integrated.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's not something to be cured as much as something that can be integrated, and all the sensitivities involved with it, that ability to be so hyper aware of the different senses, to be able to focus in so intensely, is such a gift in terms of being able to create music and to produce it and to do all the technical aspects involved in that. And the difficult part is performing and singing it, but that's been a doorway for me to open up into the flowing of my emotional communication.
Now, speaking of your two CDs that I have in my possession, they're both very beautiful. Let's go with Deep Peace. It's a CD and a DVD. Why is that? Why would you include a DVD with a CD here, Michael?
Well, what I wanted to be when I grew up was a National Geographic photographer.
Oh, really?
It's the only thing I could picture myself doing, being alone, sitting in a forest, waiting for the rare animal to appear. No people around, no nothing, just being quiet and still, and that incredible patience that I have and that focus. It all just kind of made sense. I loved photography, but somehow never really happened. And I kind of dropped photography for many years, but photography came back into my life about 5 years ago, and it never left. It was very quick to emerge as something that people around me encouraged me to continue. They all loved it. And it's become also a very clear way to express what I experience. I have a profound love for nature and a desire to protect it and a desire to share the beauty I see. And it occurred to me that in my experiences with other people, as I've been in beautiful scenarios, and I'm taking pictures, and then they see what I take, and they're like, "Where did you take that?" I'm like, "Well, where we were yesterday." "No." "Where were these pictures taken?" "Oh, in Toronto." I'm like, "No, that's not possible. That looks like some..." If people don't see what I'm seeing, and I probably don't see what they're seeing either. For instance, I remember being in a place, and I remember my friend was encouraging me, like, come on already, let's get out of here. And I'm like, "Don't you see, like, the water and how, like, each drop is falling and you can see the light glistening on it?" And they're like, "Huh? All I see is just the waterfall." Like, and we realized that we were seeing totally different things. And for me to take in that scene took longer because I was seeing it all in digital parts. I wasn't able to take in one thing. It was like I'd see each individual drop and each thing. But though it took me longer to take it in, I saw so much more. So it's a natural thing then for me to do the photography. That's what I'm seeing. I don't have to search for the great photograph. It's just, I'm just seeing it all in these little packages already. So I end up with thousands of photographs. And so the CD Deep Peace is all about reconnecting to nature through the four elements of earth, water, air, and fire. So I thought, okay, I've got all these photographs. Let's put them together in that theme along with the music and create a beautiful meditative healing experience for people to feel like they've gone through a beautiful walk in nature and experienced it the sort of way that I'm experiencing things with all those little beautiful details. So I just put that together to give people that little extra experience.
And this is, it says on the CD, this is pure acoustic sound. No synthesizers or sequencers
mm-hmm.
were used. Well, that's amazing because the music is beautiful. I love DP. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind playing maybe a little bit, maybe if you want to select something or from it? Or...
You want to play it there?
Or you want to play
live?
Why don't you play something live for us a little bit?
Oh, yeah?
Just a little. Yeah, play something, yeah. Yeah, if you don't mind, unless you want me to put something in the CD.
Well, live it will be very different. See, okay. when I say no sequencers and stuff used, we've got me in my studio here, and I'm playing instruments. I don't know if you'll hear them over the phone.
Okay.
But, for instance, I'll just do a run here.
Okay.
This is a vibraphone, what you're hearing.
Oh, cool.
And it's like a metal xylophone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big, big chunk of what I do. It often people assume is a keyboard, but it's actually not.
Mm-hmm.
They're metal bars.
Mm.
And that's the one instrument that's often heard.
Mm-hmm.
And... then, of course, there's the voice and the guitar. So you might hear something. Let me just put you on.
I can hear you fine, so, you know.
Oh, yeah? You can?
You can. Yep, we can hear you. That's good.
Let's just see if you can hear this.
Okay.
That?
Excellent. Yes, it was beautiful.
That's a
yes.
Very short version.
That's okay. We just want to give people a sampling. We want to give listeners a sampling so they can go out and buy the real thing, which is really good. So yes, that was beautiful.
So usually the vibes and marimbas and hammer dulcimer and layers of vocal and harmony and percussion and crystal bowls and Tibetan bowls and tinkling quartz crystals and all these things that kind of layer together to create a rich environment that is not just a song, but a kind of journey that you can step inside and helps unwind and bring you to a state of inner peace, which both those CDs are ultimately a themed journey towards peace, from a kind of longing outer, looking for it in the world, to an experience of it within.
Yeah, it's. Do you want to play something from Deep Song as well? Let's just give people a little bit of sampling so they know, because they're really good if you want to get into. I got into almost a trance-like state myself.
Well, I'll play. I'm going to play a song called Falling Candle in the Night, which is, since we're talking about the autism, it's kind of sung to that inner child.
Okay.
That child that was so disconnected when I was younger.
Okay,
and,
sure.
This time I'll try playing the whole thing so it you can hear it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. go.
That was wonderful. That was phenomenal. You have mentioned in your biography, you know, because I read some of your biography, that this music has helped you heal a lot of things. How do you feel, how has it helped you on your personal healing journey?
Well, one of the key ones I mentioned before is this whole idea of opening my mouth and singing, mm-hmm. to learn how to express emotion through my voice, open up that locked autistic shell. And now one of my favorite things is to teach people how to use the voice as a healing tool. And for many reasons, not just autism, but for anything, that the voice is a profound, people run around wanting to buy a crystal bowls, of which I've got many, there's nothing wrong with them, Tibetan bowls, or these ideas, or tuning forks, or, and they're all wonderful tools, but the most profound healing tool maybe of all that we have is the voice, the human voice. It can hit every little note in between everything. It's connected intimately to who we are. It's vibrating the entire body from the inside out. And to use that with consciousness is a profound way to shift energy in the body, in oneself in particular, to be able to learn to sense and feel the blocks, and then be able to hum, tone, move, find the right tone to resonate that block, and then to move it, shift it, and open it up. It's an amazing tool. And then, so for my own experience of that, has really helped me a lot, as well as process of the CDs, which is in some ways it's a whole different type of healing with sound, where I am carefully creating something that will generate a certain vibrational field and energetic space for people on their healing journey, and also for myself. I use my CDs myself a lot to help with my own issues, and that's how I know they work, and that's how I know they're done. It's very, you know, just having a talk with a friend saying, "Oh, you're such a perfectionist." I'm working on 3 months new CDs as we speak, and you know, they all, when people hear it, they think it's done, and I know it's not, because when I use it, I can feel the places where it's off. And I know once I get it just right, then I know it will work for others, to take them to a particular place, because I'm not just creating music. The music can sound good, but it needs to effectively take me there. I call my company the Temple of Sound, because I'm creating a sacred space with sound to invite people in, and each CD is a tool. It's both beautiful to listen to, but it's also a tool. It can bring you to a particular vibrational place that can help the body engage its own healing mechanism. And as you mentioned before, one of the ways I do that is through the pure acoustic sound, but it's in crafting that pure acoustic sound in a particular way that's both musical as well as amusical. It's like the sound of nature, to create that space where the mind can let go, not be just waiting for the next melody, tapping its foot to the next beat, but it's much more open and allows the body to find its own ground and its own healthy and healing place. So each CD is carefully designed in that way, and that whole process of creating the CDs is very healing for me as well. For instance, I have a CD called Surrender, and it's very delicate sounds of bells and water, and very, it seems very simple, but it took me a year to kind of craft and get it just right. I recorded it quite quickly, but to make sure there was nothing jarring, nothing that was going to be too musical, but be too non-musical, to find that place that could really allow the body and the mind to surrender and just float, be in that in-between world state where spirit can enter. And as I created that, I went through the biggest surrenders I've ever had to deal with in my own life in terms of things that were happening to me, and having to kind of live through that as I was creating it, both actively surrendering as I was creating something to help other people surrender, was not easy but profound.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to work.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. Yeah, especially, you know, I'm an energy healer too, so it raised my vibration when I was listening to it. And even, it was weird because I have this one cat that was coming around all the time, my one female cat. She wanted to come around and stay by my, you know, me, and that's usually my fiancé's cat. So it was odd. she was enjoying it. But you have other CDs too besides Surrender. What's the other two CDs that you want to tell people about? Because you do have, what, 5 CDs total. Now you're working on 3 more. Wow, you're busy.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I have another one called Above the Sound of Gravity. It's a flute, beautiful melodic flute with the bells and vibraphone, dreamy sounds. That's great. It's just an alpha state relaxation CD. And I remember when we first got that in, we were just listening to it. The flute player is a friend of mine, so it's a collaboration with her. Her name's Laura. And all the cats came around the speakers. It's like you're saying, they all gathered around and they curled up by the speakers and loved the sound, it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mentioned Surrender. That's a little deeper. And then going even deeper, there's something called Dance of the Deep, which is actually my first CD.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the closest to that autistic kind of place. And I created that one with a lot of drones, so a lot of deep voices that you never notice were voices. They just sound like a synthesizer or something. But it's just layers of my voice creating this deep healing sound with then the bells and stuff floating on top, which was designed to really, because I'm so disturbed by noise,
mm-hmm.
and so to create a sound that would overpower and block out the noise, but would have the feeling of silence. And so that is Dance of the Deep, and that's often used for meditation, deep healing work. So those three are the instrumental CDs, and then the ones that you have there, you mentioned before, Deep Peace is a mixture of light chants, and instrumental pieces that's designed as a shamanic journey. Takes you from into an experience of peace, and it's like a journey through nature and the four elements, kind of reconnecting you to it and helping to balance those four elements in the body. And that's a very musical meditation. Whereas the other ones are more ambient pieces, a more musical meditation. And then Deep Song is kind of the first part of Deep Peace. And it's all song-oriented. So it's, I guess you would call a modern folk music in a way, but the underlying layers are still the healing music principles. So you have the words and the melodies and the rhythms, but with this lots of textures that help bring you into that healing state at the same time. So you've got the poetry that kind of takes you on the journey to peace. So each song kind of takes you further along. And as the CD progresses, it kind of gets softer and more gentler and takes you into an adult lullaby kind of zone, which tends to drift people off again. You know, my music's the only music where it's a compliment when people fall asleep. Surrender, nobody ever, the only complaint I ever get is nobody ever hears the end.
I might get that CD. It sounds good. It's calling to me. I'm on your website right now, so I need surrendering sometimes.
If anyone else wants to check out the website, it's thetempleofsound.com.
It's a beautiful website, too. It's very in-depth, and I learned a lot about you, about your journey, too, with how you were diagnosed with autism and your mom trying to... It seems like your mother was, like, kind of a mentor towards you. Like, she put you on her lap or something and said, I love you, Daddy loves you, something to that effect. I thought that was profound.
Yeah.
She knew to do that.
Well, from an infant, I refused touch.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't handle it. It was obviously too much for my sensitive system. So I'd arch out of her arms. And my mom, just having her mother instincts, wouldn't buy into it. So she would sit me down on her lap and go, Mommy loves you, and force me to look into her eyes, which is another thing that autistic people have a very hard time with. The reason for that is not avoidance, but when I look into somebody's eyes, I see the universe. It's so deep that I cannot think.
Mm-hmm.
I can't access. I can't hear the words they're saying. So it's not that I can't look in somebody's eyes. It's if I look in somebody's eyes, I can't hear what they're saying, and I can't think of what to say. So I have to look away to access that information or to take in what they're saying, which can get me in trouble all the time because then they assume I'm not paying attention. But it's
all
the opposite.
Right. Right.
So my mom, sort of having a sense of all this stuff, kind of helped. And I guess that the short thing with that is she ended up doing things which are now known as very helpful things to really help balance the autistic tendencies, and that was one of them. But none of this was known at that time. I mean, I hate to say how old I am, but... Being diagnosed autistic when I was diagnosed autistic was a very rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was lucky enough to have people go to special schools and then to have a mother that took me out of those schools going, I don't care if you say he'll never function as an adult in the world, I know he will. And they're both right. I function just fine as an adult in my own creative way, but try and plug me into the normal, everyday thing, and I probably would have a really hard time.
Mm-hmm.
So, as an artist, it works.
Yes, it does. It does.
Joke, and even I've even done keynote speaking at autism conferences called autistic/artistic. the similarities and how the symptoms, quote unquote, of autism are amazing tools as an artist.
Okay.
And I could even go as far as saying that I would say most artists have a touch of autism.
Mm-hmm.
And I say artists very specifically because there's entertainers and then there's artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an entertainer. I do it because I have to. But the crafting, the quiet, alone, connecting to the other world and bringing something into form that nobody else can see, the autistic tendencies are very good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Being on stage and gathering everyone's attention and look at me, that's no good. I'm no Mick Jagger. But...
Well, you can move like Mick Jagger. I don't know, but, going back to that awful song. But seriously, you seem like you have really done very well with for yourself, you know, being an artist and having the, you know, being autistic. I don't want to say having autism, but
yeah.
How have you, do you think that, how can I put this, your CDs have really opened you up to relating to others? Do you think relating to, you know, people that are not autistic?
It's been an amazing process. It was never thought out, but it really has helped a lot because through the music and the photography, and even the astrology part of what I do, I have found ways to connect to people, and other people can connect to me. They can come to me going, wow, I love the music and I have this experience, or oh, I love the photography, I have this experience looking at it. And I can go, yes, that's my experience. And they can go, wow, I get you now. And so there's a profound feeling of, in a way that I've never experienced in any other way in my life, where people understand my experience through the art in a way that I could never seem to translate through words or direct communication. And so this profound loneliness that would occur in most of my relationships and most of my life in terms of day-to-day life, somehow, as the art gets out in the world and I get emails and responses and people coming back to me with their experiences, there's a satisfaction of, yeah, they get it. What they've just shared with me is exactly what I've put into this and what I've experienced creating it. And so it helps people get to somewhere where is my natural place of being. And somehow, through their getting it and their living in the world and them giving me the money for the CD and that whole thing helps me bring me into the everyday world, which is hard for me to be in. So it's sort of a two-way street. It's a very interesting process.
It is. It is. And you talk about, too, that when you're in the process of creating your music, you kind of lose track of things or time, or you just get so involved.
Yes. And I think that's definitely something that is common to autism and artists.
Yes, it is. Actually, yes, the artist part, I understand.
So, but yes, I actually have to put an alarm on while I'm working to remind me to eat. It can take me a long time to get into it. Once I get into it, I lose all sense of time. And it can be 5 in the morning, and I'm like, oh. And, of course, that's not very good for me. So, yeah, I have to watch that side of it and really take care of it and kind of force myself to remind myself of the physical body and to get out of one focus and onto another. And I found ways to work with that. And the lovely people in my life and my partner and things like that that constantly have, you know, remind me, have you eaten? But you know, it's useful and it's got its problems. So finding the balance is the key.
And what would you hope by making the beautiful music that you have made? What would you hope would be your, let's say, legacy in this world when you cross over? I hate to be morbid, but I'm not trying to be morbid.
It's not morbid at all.
Yeah. You know.
You know, when I'm doing readings for people, and they're like, you're not going to tell me I'm going to die, are you? And I'm like, that would be the easiest thing. We're all going to die. But I, on some levels, I dream that I can leave people with these these healing tools that will help people for many years to come, that can find solace. And as our culture gets increasingly separate from nature, that these tools can help reconnect people to that natural vibration, that it might inspire people to fight for the natural world and keep humanity's connection to it, because we are part of it. We are part of a biosphere. We're not separate. And I think partially the extreme numbers of autism that are happening are because of our culture's disconnection from nature and from the biosphere, and the huge increase of things that disconnect us, all the electromagnetic pollution and the cell phone radiation and the genetically engineered foods and the things that are, they all add up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not a political activist per se, but I, at the same time, on a very subtle level, I am. I really want to help wake people up to our spirit and our own spiritual nature, our own spiritual connection, that we can find it, we can have it directly, and that the natural world is a huge part of that, and we need it. And so, for me, it's the being the thing that has helped me the most heal, in many ways, and continues to be the way I stay sane. And the cornerstone, when people say, "What's your musical inspiration?" I say, "The sounds of nature," and they go, "I don't know that band." I'm like, "No, the sounds of nature." the sound of water, the sound of the wind in the trees, the sound of the crickets. These are the things that inform my music, not other bands. And I hope to help people reconnect to that and to give people tools to connect to that in their everyday city lives.
Well, I feel like you're doing that. It feels like your music is reaching a lot of audiences, and you are also, I believe, you do speak on behalf of autistic individuals, correct?
Yeah.
That's your passion, too, is to help us understand, because like I said, I have a stepdaughter that sometimes I don't get her. It's like, okay, what is she doing? Her father does, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it that can be profound. It's not something that is an external passion I sought out, but it's something that sought me out. And just to see how many parents and caregivers that get help by them being able to ask questions about, my daughter does this, what's up? And I can answer it. I don't know how I can answer it, except I totally get it. I know where it's coming from. And then it helps them understand what's happening and how they can interact with it, and how they can not punish the child for it, but they can incorporate that in their lives, and how it can really transform the whole family dynamic. And so let's, become.
And so people can
rewarding.
Find. Yes, it is, and it. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It does help when you can talk to someone that, can say, hey, this is what it's kind of like. Maybe you can't totally relate to my experience, but your music is, you got beautiful music in your head and in your soul. So something's going on underneath the surface.
In some ways, yeah. The legacy in a small way has already been accomplished. I've had people being born to my music. I've had people die to my music. I've had people email me saying that their music's prevented them from committing suicide. I've had people say it's helped heal diseases that they were supposed to kill them. So if it's done that to just a handful of people, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's out there. You know, they're like children. They're out there doing their thing. And I have nothing really to do about it. Once it comes through me, I do my work putting it together. And then I send it off to the world. And hope that people like you find it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the knowledge that you have gave us today, you know, that the insight that we, you know, people need. You know, when I saw your, you know, Leslie, you know, your promoter, email me, I said, oh, this would be interesting. So is there any, where people can find you again, is the templeofsound.com, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, thetempleofsound.com.
And you are, let's see, and you have 3 more CDs coming out. Wow, that you're busy. Wow.
Yeah, just, I've, all along, the first CD I ever wanted to put out, I was never able to do because it's full-on expressive. It's pop music, really. Spiritual pop music. Cosmic pop music, as I'm calling it. And it's been the hardest thing to do because I have to break through all those boundaries to do it. And it's inside my head, and it's finally finding its form. So that's one of them. Another is Songs and Chants for the Earth. And another is a meditation CD for the Earth to help people very directly connect to the frequency of the Earth in a meditative state. So that's what I'm busily crafting away here in my studio in Toronto, Canada.
Yes, I know. I'm in Buffalo, New York, so I'm not too far from you. Yeah, I'm not too far from you. So we can find you at the templeofsound.com. And it was wonderful to have you,
remember.
Michael. Yeah.
My name, it's Michael Moon. As in the moon in the sky.
Well, thank you so much for being on today. It was a pleasure. It was enlightening. Thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing more about your future CDs coming out.
Yes. So do I.
You'll be fine. Well, it was great.
Get guided in the process.
Yes, exactly. It's all good, Michael. Well, thank you very much, Michael. You have a great day, and I want to thank everyone for listening today, and pick up Michael's CDs. I'll transform your life.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.